Sin will be gone, everything will be right. Keep looking up, it may come tonight.
Good evening, we're the Faithful Men Quartet from West Coast Baptist College. My name is Ruben Marquez. I'm a senior studying music from Escondido, California.
Hi, my name is Keith Birdsong. I'm from Tillamook, Oregon. I'm a sophomore at West Coast Baptist College studying pastoral theology.
My name is Todd Dahl.
I'm from Saginaw, Michigan.
I'm a sophomore studying church ministries.
My name is Nathan Bird. I'm a junior from Charlotte, North Carolina, studying to be an evangelist.
And at the panel is Jesse Jones. Jesse is also a senior who's studying church ministries, and he's from Ashtabula, Ohio.
My heart is overflowing with joy and peace. Soon I'll be resting at my Savior's feet. It may be in the morning, it may be at noon. I don't know when he's coming, but I know he's coming soon.
He's coming soon, there's no doubt. I'm gonna leave this world with a shout. Sin will be gone, everything will be right. Keep looking up, he may come tonight.
The trumpet will sound and those in the ground, saved by the blood, will be heaven bound.
And we which remain shall be caught up too. I'm gonna be there, brother, how about you? He's coming soon, there's no doubt. I'm gonna leave this world with a shout. Sin will be gone, everything will be right. Keep looking up, he may come tonight. He's coming soon, there's no doubt. I'm gonna leave this world with a shout. Sin will be gone, everything will be right. Keep looking up, he may come tonight. Keep looking up, he may come tonight.
There's a lighthouse on the hillside that overlooks life's sea. When I'm tossed, it sends out a light that I might see, and the light that shines in darkness now will safely lead us on. If it wasn't for the lighthouse, my ship would be no more.
And I thank God for the lighthouse I owe my life to him. Jesus is the lighthouse, and from the rocks of sin he has shone a light around me that I could clearly see. If it wasn't for the lighthouse, where would this ship be?
Now everybody that lives about us says tear that old lighthouse down. The big ships don't sail this way anymore. There's no use of it standing round. But then my mind goes back to that stormy night when just in time I saw the light. Yes, the light from that old lighthouse.
Sometimes I fail the Lord and the ones that I love the most. My prayer of confession goes up, but the winds that accuse me still blow. In the midst of the storms of guilt and regret, when I know I'm forgiven but don't feel it yet, I will cling to the cross, hold to that hill, trust in the truth that He forgives still. It's my shelter from shame, though I can't explain how such gain can come from such loss. I will cling to the cross. My heart would run from this scene of disgrace and death, but there's an attraction so strong to the suffering I'll never forget. What the world may despise or see as defeat is the symbol of victory I'll never leave. I will cling to the cross, hold to that hill, trust in the truth that He forgives still. It's my shelter from shame, though I can't explain how such gain can come from such loss. I will cling to the cross. It's here I am covered by mercy and grace. Till my trophies at last I lay down, I will say, I will say, I will cling to the cross, hold to that hill, trust in the truth that He forgives still. It's my shelter from shame, though I can't explain how such gain can come from such loss. I will cling to the old rugged cross, and exchange it someday for a crown. I will cling to the cross, cling to the cross.
Weary on his journey, his body frail and weak. The apostles knew the end was near as he dipped his pen in ink.
He wrote, "Timothy, my son, I have fought the fight of faith. Carry on what I've begun, but most of all I pray.
Preach the word, preach the cross, preach redemption to a lost and dying world. Lift your voice unashamed of the gospel of His name until all have heard. Preach the word."
Paul and Timothy are gone, but the letter still remains, and the mission that was written down calls out to us today.
Lift the name of Jesus higher until the whole world knows
the story of amazing grace. We are messengers of hope. Preach the word, preach the cross, preach preach redemption to a lost and dying world. Lift your voice unashamed of the gospel of his name. Preach the word, preach the cross, preach redemption to a lost and dying world. Lift your voice unashamed of the gospel of his name. Until all have heard, preach the word. Preach the word, preach the cross, preach redemption to a lost and dying world. Lift your voice unashamed of the gospel of his name. Until all have heard,
preach the word.
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 Thank you, sir. All right. Well, thank you so much for allowing us to be here. Pastor Stone Street, you're so kind in opening up your church, allowing us to be here and to sing. And thank you all for welcoming us. You're a very great church. First time I've been up in this area. And my name is Chris Reed. I work at West Coast Baptist College. I take care of the job placement down there. And if you have anybody down there or send anybody, or if you're thinking about going and need a job, you come see me and see what we can do for you. But tonight, let's open up our Bibles to Acts chapter 8. In Acts chapter 8, we read a familiar story, and as we look into this passage of Scripture, we're going to see how a heathen man became heaven-bound. Let's look at Acts chapter 8, and I want to begin reading in verse number 35. The Bible says this: Then Philip opened his mouth and began at the same Scripture, and preached unto him Jesus. And as they went on their way, they came unto a certain water. And the eunuch said, See, here is water. What doth hinder me to be baptized? And Philip said, If thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest. And he answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Let's pray. Lord God, we do thank you for how good you are to us. Lord, we thank you for your word and how plain and simple it is. And I thank you, Lord, for how deep and how wide it is and the truth that it contains. Lord, and I pray now as we look into it that we would have an open heart and an open ears, Lord, to hear what you have for us. Lord, that we'd leave this place with a closer walk and a deeper desire, Lord, and a longing to glorify you and to serve you with all of our hearts. And we thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. We meet people every day, whether at the store, whether at work, whether just going out out on the street. People that are longing for truth. People that want to know what the truth is. To think that we have that truth right here in God's Word. But we also have that truth in our heart. When you have received that truth, when you've received Jesus as your Savior, if you're saved here tonight, you have that truth inside. And you have that truth that God loved us so much that he sent his only begotten Son to die on a cross for our sins, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. We have that truth. But there's people out there that are longing, that are looking, and that want to know the truth. But many have been blinded and deceived by sin, and their hearts have become hard. Some have been caught up in a false doctrine and a false belief in religion. But there's others that have just not heard, that just have not heard a clear presentation, that they haven't had a person that's been saved come unto them and just explain to them the truth of how God says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. There's many people out there, many people that we pass every day that are looking for that truth. Are you yielded? Are you following the Holy Spirit? Are you looking to where you can be a witness to those people?
Are you going day by day looking and asking and praying that God would show you somebody to tell that truth to? Because we have been saved, but we haven't just been saved to sit and be in church, but to save to serve. So we have been saved to go out into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. We are to go and to teach all men, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever God hath commanded us. We are to go and tell them, and we've also been empowered. The Bible says that that after you shall receive power, that the Holy Ghost will come upon you, and that we shall be witnesses. Are you being that witness each day? I want us to look into this passage of Scripture. I want us to see three different scenes on how that we can see how this heathen man became heaven-bound. If you look up into Acts chapter 8, and beginning in verse number 26, we're going to learn about a yielded evangelist. Verse number 26 says, And the angel of the Lord spake unto Philip, saying, Arise, and go toward the south, unto a way that goeth down to Jerusalem, unto Gaza, which is desert. See, the first thing first person we learn about in this passage is that yielded evangelist. He was yielded in the leading of the Spirit. See, Philip was involved in a great revival down in Samaria. He preached the word, and many people had been saved. Many people came to trust Christ. And then Peter and James and Peter and the other apostles went down, and they started they baptized them, and they started building a church there. And Philip was a part of being used by God to see this great revival take place in Samaria. But God had another plan. God had somewhere else for Philip to go. He didn't know exactly what he was going to see. He didn't know who he was going to meet. He didn't know exactly what was going to take place, but God had a plan for him. And he was yielded in the leading of the Spirit. And he allowed the Spirit to lead him to where he was going to go. You know, when God will lead us someplace and we don't know exactly where we're going to go, we don't know exactly the next step we're going to take, but the Bible says that the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, that the steps that we are to take, God is ordering those steps, that he is leading us, that he is going to guide us and direct us the way that he wants us. And Philip, here is an example of a man that was being led by the Spirit. And he went down into a desert, into a place that who would have thought could have took place down there? I mean, it not everything is always explained out to us and laid out for us. You know, I'm the kind of person that likes to plan. I like to know exactly where we're going to go next. I like to know how my life is going to turn out. I like to know exactly where what I'm going to do and how long I'm going to be there. But you know what? That's not how God works. God doesn't always just lay everything out for us and say, this is exactly how long you're going to be here. Then you're going to move to this location. Then you're going to do this. Then you're going to do this. You're going to meet these people. No, but he wants us to walk day by day in a relationship with him, that he is guiding us and molding us and moving us to where he wants us to be. Are you being yielded today? Are you being yielded by what the Spirit is telling you to do? Are you walking with God on a day-to-day basis? Are you opening up God's Word and seeking and looking for God's Word to where He could lead you and guide you to what He has for you? Because, like I said, God didn't just save you for you just to be saved and now you know you're heaven-bound and that you have a home in heaven and that now you can be in the church, but He saved you to serve. Are you seeking every day to be used by God? Are you seeking every day to what God has for you? Because He has a plan for each one of you. He has a purpose for your salvation. Are you being yielded by the Spirit? Andrew Murray said, God is ready to assume full responsibility for a life wholly yielded to Him. God will assume that responsibility. You know, it's not about our ability, but I heard of many times it's about our availability. Are you being available for God to be used? Don't trust in your own ability. Don't trust in your own strength. Don't trust in what you think you can or can't do, but realize that God has a plan for you, that God has a purpose for you, but you must be yielded by His Spirit, yielded to where His Spirit leads. But not only was he yielded, but he listened. Not only was he being led by the Spirit, but he listened to the Spirit. He listened. And look with me in verse, as we continue down in verse 27, it says this, and he arose and went. And behold, a man of Ethiopia, a eunuch of great authority under Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, who had charge of all her treasure and had come to Jerusalem for to worship, was returning and sitting in his chariot, read Isaiah the prophet. And then the Spirit said unto Philip, Go near and join thyself to this chariot. Verse 30, and Philip ran thither to him and heard him read the prophet Isaiah and said, Understandest thou what thou readest? And he said, How can I, except some man should guide me? And he desired Philip that he should guide him. and he should come up and sit with him. And Philip was listening to the Spirit as he told him to go and to see and to meet that man on the road and to meet that man and to tell him the truth. This man was looking. This man wanted to know. But Philip, not only was he being led, but he listened as the Spirit told him to speak and to go. Sometimes it's hard to listen to the Spirit. Sometimes we can hear everything else in the world. We fill our minds, we fill our life with so much outside noise. Whether it's through social media, through activities of life, we can get very caught up in our day-to-day routine of listening to everything else and everybody else, but never listening to the Spirit, to the Holy Spirit talk to us. We may not spend the time in God's Word. We may not spend time in prayer. We may not spend time just wanting to listen to what God has for us. It's easy for us to get so filled with the world and not to be listening to what the Spirit says. Howard Hendricks says, in the midst of a generation screaming for answers, Christians are stuttering. We are told to be always ready to give an answer to every man that asketh us the hope that is in us. Are you ready to share that good news, the gospel of how you, that were a lost sinner, on your way to hell, on your way to judgment, have trusted in Christ and have been saved? No longer have sins on your account, no longer going to be judged by your sins, but now you're heaven bound. Now that you have been saved and forgiven, now that you have a mission to go tell others, are you ready to tell somebody? Philip was ready. He was yielded. He was yielded to by the leading of the Spirit. He was yielded to the listening of the Spirit as the Spirit told him to go up and witness to this man. That's the first thing we see. We see the yielded evangelist. But secondly, I want us to look at the yearning of this Ethiopian. The yearning of the Ethiopian. You know, this man was seeking for something. He was looking for answers. He was looking for truth. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. Jesus is that truth. We know about that truth, and if you're saved, you've received that truth. You have received what the truth of the gospel, the good news, this man was seeking. He was seeking for it in the religious capital, in Jerusalem. He was coming back. Look, as we read already, as it said that he was coming from Jerusalem. He was coming from a religious city. A place that people known to be religious. Well, they had religion. They had the temple. They had all the different rituals and all the different laws. But those will never save you. Those will never. That is not the answer. It's not in religion. Religion will always leave you looking for more. You know, we've been involved in this in a Jewish outreach down in L.A. throughout these last couple of semesters, and some of the college students, and many of the college students have as well. And we are going and talking to people down into L.A., into Jewish people that have been caught up in Judaism, have been caught up in trying to go about to establish their own righteousness, trying to thinking that by them praying, by them following the laws, that they will be able to somehow please God and somehow attain salvation and somehow that their good is going to outweigh their bad when they die. But my friend, that's not the answer. The answer is not going to be in religion. If you're here tonight and you're sitting and trusting that being a good person, that going to a good church, that listening to the Bible and maybe even reading your Bible and knowing your Bible, if you're trusting in that to get yourself to heaven, if you're trusting in that for you to be saved, you're mistaken. Because religion will not save. Religion will always leave you looking for more. And as I talked to many of these Jewish men and rabbis and many men, you can see that they know, it seems like they know inside that there has to be more. They know that cannot be. They know that there must be more, but they're so caught up in religion that they cannot. They've been blinded. They cannot, they will not receive the truth. And they're hardened, and their heart is hard. But there are people out there that are looking for answers, as this man was, this Ethiopian man. We don't know his name, but we know that he was looking for answers. He was in Jerusalem. He grabbed some of the scripture there, and as he was coming back, he wanted to comprehend. He wanted to know. He wanted to know what it said and what it meant. The Bible says in Romans 10:13 that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. That's the truth. That is a truth in God's word. But then it goes on to say, how shall they call on him in whom they have not heard? Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And then it says, how shall they call on him in whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear on him if there's no preacher? But we need a preacher. The Bible answer is no, they won't. They will not. That a person will not know if they haven't heard. They need to hear. That's why God tells us to go. To go and tell every man. To go everywhere and to preach the gospel. The gospel. The good news. The good news of salvation. How we can be saved and forgiven of our sins. He wanted to know. He wanted to know the truth and he was longing for it. We pass by the people every day, like I said, that want to know. God is not willing that any should perish, but all come to repentance. God is not willing. God wants people to be saved. But we, in our busyness of life, in the time that we fill up and just living our life, go by without telling people how they can be saved. Without having that heart to want to tell a person how that Jesus died for them and that they can have their sins forgiven. We can go every day and we can be so busy without telling people. You know, before I went to the West Coast and God called me to preach, I was a firefighter in Las Vegas for 8 years. And a lot of the illustrations that I use, I correlate it with fighting fire. And one of these scenes that I was on at one time on a house fire. And I was in the front, but in the back of the yard there was a power line that fell down. And as the power line fell down, the other firefighter off of another unit was caught behind where the power line was. So the power line fell down and it was all around him. And it was arcing and sparking and the sparks were flying. And he was there, and because of those sparks, and because of when those sparks hit the ground, it blinded him. And he could not see, and he didn't know which way to go. He didn't know if he was to go left, if he would end up getting electrocuted, if he was to go right, if he was to go back, if he was to go forward. He didn't know because the lines fell. It was arcing, it was sparking, it was popping up all around him, and he was blinded. But the other person, the captain, went around and saw this. He realized what was going on. And he realized that the situation that this man was in, that he was caught around these lines that had fallen. And he, being able to see where the line was, being able to see where the safe path was able to explain and tell him, no, go left. No, two steps, and then back up, and then go right. And then he was able to guide him through those lines so that as this man was blinded, he had to wholly rely upon the captain as he spoke, as he was guided around the power lines so that he could get out to safety. And as the captain guided him, he took his steps, he went right, he went left, and he was able to get around, and he was fine. And he got back out, he realized how close he was and how dangerous the situation was. But as we think about that, and as I thought about that, there's many people that have been blinded by this world, by the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, or the pride of life. Many people go day by day blinded by the devil. But we have the truth that can guide them. We have the truth to tell a person how they can find the way to life. We have the ability to guide a person. We have been given the command and the commission to go. We have got God's word in our hand. Every one of us has a Bible in front of us. Everyone here has a Bible that you can open up and look and see that this is true. And this is what the Bible says. We have it here. We can tell a person how that they are on their way to destruction. They're on their way to hell. But if you believe and Jesus died and if you trust him, you can be saved. Have your sins forgiven. We have that privilege and that opportunity to tell somebody. But are we willing to step out sometimes of our comfort zone? Are we willing and yielded to tell a person how they can be saved? Are we allowing the Holy Spirit to lead us? Because there are people out there that are longing to know what the truth of God's word is. They want to know. They want to know. And look and see what Philip did. Philip, and in verse 35, this is awesome, it says, and he opened his mouth and began at the same scripture and preached unto him Jesus. See, this man opened up the Bible, he opened up the scripture that he had, the passage in Isaiah, and he was reading it, but he didn't understand it. But Philip took that opportunity to preach Jesus to him. He took that opportunity to preach Christ. You know, Paul said, we preach Christ. He said, we preach Christ and Him crucified. We don't preach ourselves. It's not about us, but it's about the Lord Jesus Christ. He says that we are to go and proclaim it and to preach it. He told Timothy, preach the word. He said, go out there and proclaim it. Tell people the truth of the gospel. Tell people what Jesus did for them. Tell people how that they can believe and trust in Christ. Tell people how that they can have their sins forgiven and be on a way to heaven. That's the truth of the gospel. The gospel, the good news. And Philip, he took that opportunity and he preached unto him Jesus. And then this man, this Ethiopian eunuch, this man was yielded and he was yearning and he confessed the Lord Jesus. Look what it says in verse 37. And it says, and Philip said, if thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest. And he answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. He said he was ready. He was ready to believe. He just needed to know. And at that moment, when the scripture was open, when the explanation came, when Philip preached unto him Jesus, he said, I believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. And at that moment in time, it says that he had commanded in verse 38 the chariot to stand still, and they went both down into the water, both Philip and the eunuch, and he baptized him. See, that as soon as that eunuch believed, he was willing to repent. He was willing to change his way of thinking. I don't know what his thought process was. I don't know the false gods he served. I don't know how he thought the lifestyle he used to live. But I do know that once he believed, once he realized the truth and he trusted Christ, he was willing to turn from his old ways, turn from the way that he was going, and trust in what Jesus said, and trust in what the Bible said, and trust in what the gospel was. And at that moment in time, it says that he went down and he was baptized. He followed the Lord in believers' baptism. He obeyed the first decision. He had an obedient, he walked with God. I mean, he did that first step of obedience. He took that step, and that step was baptism. And we see that he had he repented of his old ways. And this is a man that was at one time wandering life, going down a road to nowhere, going down a road seeking, wanting to know the truth, wanting to know what was real. And as soon as he heard it, he believed. He trusted, and then he turned. He was going his way, but then when God encountered him with his yielded servant and that yielded evangelist, he turned and started trusting in Christ and went on rejoicing. And it says let's continue reading, because this is awesome as we continue seeing. It says, and after he was baptized, and when they were come up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord caught away Philip, and the eunuch saw him no more, and he went his way rejoicing. I mean, this man that was lost and on his way to hell is now going to heaven, and he is rejoicing. He is rejoicing the fact that his sins are forgiven, that his sins are gone, that he no longer has to give an answer for them, that Jesus paid for them, and now that he is going on rejoicing. This man was excited, and he was rejoicing because of what he knew, what he learned about the truth and what he believes. It's awesome to know that God was willing to use us. To think we're nothing in ourselves. We don't have anything. There's no righteousness in us. All our righteousness is filthy rags. And the only righteousness of us is Christ in us, living through us. But each of us can be that yielded vessel, that yielded servant of God. He has given us a ministry, the ministry of reconciliation, the ministry that we can tell people how that, yes, you are a sinner, but there's an answer for that. There's an answer that goes back 2,000 years to a cross where your sins were nailed, where Jesus bore your sins, that you can now be forgiven. We have the ministry. It's not whether or not we do or maybe we do. You may not be in full-time ministry, but you have the ministry of reconciliation. You have the privilege. Think about that, the privilege to tell somebody how they can be saved. When was the last time you shared that message? When was the last time you told somebody the good news? I mean, good news, the gospel, that's good news. But it's not good news if we don't tell somebody. I mean, you have to tell somebody in order for them to realize the good news, the gospel. The heavens do declare declare the glory of God. The firmament showeth his handiwork. Yes, we can see God through nature, but we don't learn about salvation through nature. We have that in the fact that we have been saved, that we know the truth out of God's word, that we now can go tell others. But when was the last time you told somebody? When was the last time you told somebody that story That story, 2,000 years that took place on Calvary. The story of how God loved us so much that he came down as a man and died on a cross for our sins. You know, that we met in this passage of Scripture, and I'm sure that everyone's familiar with it, but we met that yielded evangelist. That yielded evangelist named Philip, who was yielded to go wherever God led, who was allowing him to lead him, and he listened to him. And we met this man, this wandering man, this Ethiopian, this yearning. He was yearning for truth. He was yearning for what was real. He wanted to know. He was seeking, but he needed some help. And then God, in his divine sovereignty, in his planning, in allowing these two people to meet, we learned how this heathen man became heaven-bound. Because he believed in the truth of the gospel. He believed in what the Scripture said. Philip took the advantage and preached to him Jesus, and he believed, and he went on rejoicing. Wouldn't it be exciting for you to go tell somebody this week that a person on their way to hell can now be on their way to heaven? A person that you can see rejoicing because when they learn about the truth of the gospel, when they learn about how that they can have their sins forgiven. We have that ministry. We have it. Are we using it? Are we going? Are we doing? Are we telling? I pray that this challenge out of God's word would inspire you to realize how God wants to use you, and he's willing. But are you ready? Are you yielded? Do you want to be used? I pray, and my prayer is that each of us would want to be used this week to tell somebody how that they can be saved and have their sins forgiven. Let's pray. Lord God, we do thank you for how good you are to us. Lord, I know that this wasn't a long message, but Lord, I pray that the truth of your word would go into our hearts. Lord, that we would leave this place ready to be yielded, ready to serve, ready, Lord, to be used of you, to tell somebody the truth of the gospel. Use us, I pray, in Jesus' name.